So, yes, church, it was a great time Thursday night having President Trump here in our own city of Manchester. And all the great turnout, they set a record at the Verizon. More people than ever before in history packed the Verizon Center. That place was rocking. Man. What a 12,000. It holds 10,000 for a hockey game, but then they had the floor, so they got 2,000 more in there, and they said it was a all-time record. Glory to God. Well, folks, I've got quite a message for you today, and we've got some turf to cover, so let us get going. We'll grab let's grab our hymnals for our final hymn just prior to the message, and please open up with me to the hymn 63. We'll stand, those of you who did not wrench your back, as my sister did this morning. Infirmities of the flesh, brethren. We all got them. We're not getting any younger. Fanny Crosby. And go with me to hymn number... Hymn number 63. We'll sing all four near the cross. That's where we need to be each and every day. Sing it to the Lord. Yeah. Love the words.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all the healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond that river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy bound me. Amen. There the bright and morning star shed its beams around me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond that river. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its sins before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Forth near the cross I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach that golden strand just beyond that river. Everybody.
on in the cross, in the cross, be my glory till I reach that mountain through just beyond the river. Amen. Please be seated. Oh, praise the Lord. How special are those words, I tell you. Well, folks, let's, at this time, please grab our Bibles. And please open up to the book of Revelation. Today, the book of Revelation, I'd ask you to go to chapter 13. Yes, indeed. Heavy-duty stuff today. And considering the urgency of the hour in which we live, the Lord laid, of course I've preached on this before, but today's message will be different than ever before. That's the Word of God. That's how the Word of God is. And considering the topic of today's message, which is the nature of the beast, I want to awaken us, so to speak, concerning the fact that what I'm preaching on today is about to occur on planet Earth shortly, real shortly. All the signs are in place, as we know, and about to unfold. So, as you turn to Revelation chapter 13, let me read this to you real quick, which goes along quite well with the message today. Satanic Temple in Ottawa to hold its first public black mass in Canada. Listen to this. The Satanic Temple. Ottawa plans to hold what apparently will be the first public black mass in Canada's history, August 17th. That was yesterday, folks. They won't do it. They don't meet on a Sunday. They meet on the Sabbath. A black mass is an inversion and mockery of the Catholic mass. These fools think, oh boy, you talk about blindness. They think that by worshiping Satan in contradiction to the Catholic mass, which has nothing to do with the gospel, that they're mocking the true gospel. Now listen to this. A black mass is an inversion and mockery of the Catholic mass, where the ritual is performed in reverse from the end to the beginning. It symbolizes the undoing of Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross and the undoing of Satan's defeat. Are you listening? Essentially, it involves using traditional symbols and inverting them to create a ritual that is meant to be the opposite of the traditional mass. Nicholas Mach, the national coordinator of the Satanic Temple, says, in a black mass, a consecrated communion wafer. Folks, I'm sorry. I shouldn't chuckle at this. But it's comical when you... A consecrated... You know what they do? These fools, they'll pretend to be a Catholic, these Satanists, they'll infiltrate a Catholic mass, and they'll steal a few wafers. You can't make this up! In one case, I kid you not, I read it to you a few months ago, I should say, the Satanists made a deal with a local Catholic priest. They traded, listen to this, the priest traded him consecrated wafers for, they gave him back, they had stolen a cross to desecrate from this particular diocese, and they traded him the wafers for the cross back. People, listen to me, this is unbelievable. Essentially, okay, Nicholas Mach, national Canada coordinator. They've gone global, these Satanists, folks. In a black mass, a consecrated communion host/wafer is used. So, Ottawa plans to hold its first Black Mass in Canada on August 17, 2019, yesterday. That in this ritual, a consecrated host will be used. Okay. Well, don't get your tickets, but this is what they're doing, folks. Satanism. It's, now, I'm going to shock you. Satanism, not Joel Osteen, is the fastest growing church in America. Satanism. Listen to me. The Satanic Bible, written in 1969 by Anton LaVey, now outsells the Holy Bible on America's college campuses 10 to 1. They want the Satanic Bible. They don't want God's Word. Now, then, why did I read that? You can. Oh, there's a nice little photo of one of their worshipers. He's got horns coming out of his head. Pass that around.
Joel Osteen,
is he... stuff.
Does
he preach the gospel?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't know about him?
I've seen him. I know what he
does. No, he never preaches the gospel. He's not a preacher. He's a...
Oh,
yeah, exactly. He's a power positive thinking.
Yeah.
He's what you call like that guy that Anthony Robbins guy.
Yeah.
You are able to do. You know, it's ridiculous. He never quotes the Bible. Never preached the gospel in his life.
Yeah.
His father was a Baptist preacher, and he preached the devil out of you. His dad, I loved his dad, John Osteen. I used to watch him every week. He was on the television. And boy, good old John Osteen.
His son fell away.
He'd roll over in his grave if he saw what his son's doing today. How sad. But that's a sign of the time, folks. I want to speak to you today on the nature of the beast. Look with me in Revelation chapter 13. Remain seated. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast, which I saw, was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and deceit, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him so to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth. That's speaking of the final 42. We'll get to that. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Hear is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he gave power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Heavenly Father, I pray today that this message would impact universally, reach all nations, and oh God, that the warning going out today would be received by great multitudes before the trumpet blows, that many souls around this world will be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, by His precious blood, by His Holy Spirit, by His completed atonement on the cross, Lord. We pray for souls today. Oh God, we cry out. We cry out for souls. Give me souls lest I die, Rachel said. Lord, we pray you give us some poor lost sinners today that need salvation, that will come to Jesus Christ before this beast appears on the earth. Oh God, how serious the time is in which we live. There's no time left to waste. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. During the age of grace, you need Jesus Christ. Call out to Him today and be saved before you find yourself under the rule of Antichrist. I pray it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, beloved, pray for me. I'll get through this message. I've been under attack since I prepared it this week. Very shortly, there will appear a mysterious personage on the world's political scene. He will be unlike any other person in world history. He will accomplish unprecedented achievements. The Bible describes him in great detail. It predicts that he will be distinctly diverse from all other world leaders. He's called the Beast, Antichrist. I want to preach a message today I've entitled, The Nature of the Beast. Now, but brethren, we cannot afford to be ignorant of the Bible prophecy concerning the beast in these days in which we live. That's because the stage is now set for the end times, where all Bible prophecy will be fulfilled. Now, the Bible teaches explicitly that there is coming a human being who will be the devil in human flesh. This person is referred to in the Bible as the beast, the son of perdition, the man of sin, that wicked one, the Antichrist. I'd like to call your attention today to chapter 13. I want us to hone in, beloved, on five particular aspects of this strange personage to come. First, notice his sudden appearance. Chapter 13. And keep your ribbon in there. We'll be coming back and back. Chapter 13, notice his sudden appearance upon the world stage. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, John writes, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. First of all, this beast will appear suddenly, emerging out of the sea. Now, the Bible teaches that the sea stands for the nations of the world. You know that. Revelation 17, verse 15 says, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So we see clearly that the beast will come out of the multitudes of peoples, nations, and languages. He will be extremely charismatic. People will be drawn to him like a magnet. Remember, he is impersonating Jesus Christ, who was the most spiritually attractive human being that ever lived. Everywhere Jesus went, people were drawn, multitudes were drawn to him. This will be Antichrist. He's imitating the Christ. Something else concerning his sudden appearance on the world scene. He will also come at a time when the nations are in great turmoil. Wars and rumors of wars, pestilences, earthquakes, famines, and the like. Due to the amount of troubles in the world, people will be eager to deify the Antichrist, and that is exactly what he seeks. He wants to be worshipped like Jesus Christ our Lord. So first we see his sudden appearance on the world scene, but secondly, observe his satanic ancestry. He has a satanic ancestry. According to the Bible, verse 1 says, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. This is Antichrist. He has a satanic origin. Verse 1 gives us a description of the devil and is also describing the beast. And they're inseparable. Notice the immediate direct link between the beast and the dragon. Look at verse 2. And the beast, that's Antichrist, which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. You don't want to run into these guys, leopards and bears and lions. You know what they do to you? And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So we see immediately that the beast and Satan are inseparably connected. Now go with me to Revelation chapter 12. One page back, verse 3. There appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon. Who's that?
Satan,
thank you. Having 7 heads and 10 horns. Wait a minute, didn't we just read that about the beast? Yup. And 7 crowns upon his head. Notice that the dragon, who is the devil, has the same equipment that the beast has. Now look at verse 9 of chapter 12. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, in case you doubt, which deceiveth the whole world. Aren't you glad you're not deceived, church? He was cast out into the earth, and his angels, wait a minute, he's got angels? Yup. He's got tons of fallen angels that went with him. His angels were cast out with him. Now, I want you to notice 3 things concerning his satanic ancestry. First, he has the devil for his father. Listen to me. When Jesus Christ was on earth, he stated in John 14:9 that whoever had seen him had also seen his father. And so too, the beast will also be able to say that whoever sees him has seen his father, Satan. This is because everything that Jesus Christ does, the devil seeks to imitate. So first, he has the devil for his father. But second, notice his family. In his satanic ancestry, notice his family. It's all the kingdoms of the earth. Look at verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. He becomes the ruler of the world. His family is all nations of planet Earth. In Daniel chapter 7, we have a great image appearing to Nebuchadnezzar. The lion, the leopard, the bear. In this passage, clearly representing the kingdoms, nations, and world empires that would come, which would rule the world throughout history. And they have, exactly as the word of God spoke. But the final beast will be a composite of these nations. Notice in verse 2, he was like a leopard. He was like a bear, feet of a bear, mouth of a lion. He's got all their characteristics combined into one. In other words, this final world ruler will be all of the Napoleons, the Hitlers, the Alexanders the Great, the Stalins, the most wicked men who's ever lived. rolled together into one. He will be more evil. He will embody them all and be more evil than all of them combined. This beast will be the man of sin. Why? It's because the people of this world have rejected the Lamb of God, but they will receive the beast of Satan. Jesus said in John 5:43, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. He spoke that to the generation of the Jews in which he lived. Listen, church, the Jews will truly of our day will truly believe that the beast is the Messiah. And because of his miracle working power, the Gentiles will believe that he's the second coming of Jesus Christ. So first we see that his father is the devil and his satanic ancestry. Second, that his family is all nations of the earth. But third, in his satanic ancestry, notice his family fortune. It's the power and authority over all the earth. Verse 2. See it? Think with me here, church. God gave power and authority over all the earth to who? That's right, to Adam. Thank you, brother. But Adam legally and judicially turned that rule over to Satan when he sinned. That's why Satan is the god of this world, that is, ruler. Remember in Luke chapter 4, when the devil tried to tempt Jesus Christ in the wilderness? In verse 7, he said to the Son of God, behold, all these kingdoms of the world will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Now listen to me. Satan himself is the ruler of this world. He was legally offering it to Jesus Christ if Jesus Christ would bow down and worship him, making him God. No way. Now, we are a threat to his kingdom. He hates us because we have the gospel of grace, which frees men from his kingdom of darkness, which is universal. Now, Satan cannot use this full authority today. Why? The Holy Spirit is restraining him. The Holy Spirit in you and me is a barrier to his full unleashing of his authority worldwide. But at the rapture, the Holy Spirit who resides in each true believer will be taken out when the church is taken from this earth. So when the salt and light are removed from the world, the restraint will be taken away. And then that power and authority of verse 2 invested by the devil in this one man, the beast, will be released worldwide. Listen, Satan will turn over this power and authority to the beast, and the beast will temporarily receive the kingdoms of this world under his rule. 2 Thessalonians, hold your place. 2 Thessalonians, look with me in chapter 2. In chapter 2, look at verse 9. Speaking of the beast, even him who's coming, he's coming, folks, is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. That's miracles, that lying wonders. That's satanic miracles. Now, with no restraining force, the beast will dominate the entire world. Go with me to Ezekiel chapter 28. Folks, I need you to see something, an incredible prophetic passage that most preachers just read by and don't realize what the Holy Spirit is speaking of. Many times in the Bible, the Holy Spirit will speak of a human being and historically, but prophetically point to somebody in the future. This is the case in Ezekiel 28. Look with me at Ezekiel 28 in verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me. Now, he's going to talk about the king of Tyrus. This was a historical man who ruled over Tyrus. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king. He was the ruler of Tyrus. And say to him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. I don't think the king of Tyrus was ever gone back in time in a time machine. Every precious stone was thy covering. He's speaking of somebody else. You got to hear the Holy Spirit's voice. Sardius, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, carbuncle, gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets, those are musical, and of thy pipes, was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. He made beautiful music. Thou art the anointed cherub. Wait a minute. A cherub is an angel. You know that. So now he's not speaking of the king of Tyrus any longer. He's speaking of an angel that fell, whose name was Lucifer. Watch. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth what? The throne of Jesus Christ. And I have set thee so. Can you imagine the devil when he was in heaven? And he's the choir director. And he's got all of heaven worshiping God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. All of them worshiping. He looks down and he sees Jesus sitting on the throne. And he says, huh. Verse 14. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. That's in heaven, folks. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Somebody tell me, what was that sin? Pride. He was full of pride. He wanted to be God. He wanted to be the Son of God. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart, there's the problem, was lifted up, pride, because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. We have a prophecy here revealing Satan himself, the great red dragon, who fell from heaven. But what does every king have when they have a son? A what? Begins with a P.
A prince.
Prince. The son of the king is called the prince. Go with me to verse 1, same chapter. The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus. This king has a son. Thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, just like daddy, and as thou hast said, I am a god. Whoa. Look at this. I sit in the seat of God. He's going to. In the midst of the seas. Yep. At Jerusalem. Yet thou art a what? A man. And not God. The son of the king, the prince, is a man who says, I am God. Sound? Are you connecting the dots? But thou art a man and not God. Thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God. He said, you think you're God. You're going to find out who God is. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that can be hid from thee. This beast is going to have advanced knowledge, superior knowledge and wisdom. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasuries. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Now, notice here that the son of the king's heart was full of pride because of his possessions on earth, whereas his father, Lucifer, was full of pride because of his beauty. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou set thine heart as the heart of God, Behold, therefore I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, the bottomless pit, Revelation 19. And thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? He says, buddy, when Jesus Christ comes to destroy you, are you going to say to his face, you're God? Well, this is so good. But thou shalt be a man and no God in the hand of him that slayeth thee. Thou shalt die the debts of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Now, clearly, this beast has a satanic ancestry. He has a sudden appearance. But thirdly, notice his seductive appeal. Back to Revelation 13. He has an extremely seductive appeal. Verse 3, we read, and I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. He gets assassinated. And his deadly wound, when you read in the Bible about a deadly wound, it's a death blow. The guy dies. It's not just a scratch. It's death. But the deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Now, church, I see four particular aspects in his seductive appeal to the world. First, that the whole world will follow him. He will be an appealing man in the eyes of the world, folks. He will have more charisma, more charm, more magnetic appeal than any person in history except Jesus himself. His words will drop like honey. His laws will completely align with the carnal, sinful nature of mankind. And he can do no wrong in the eyes of the world. Oh, he's going to be so syrupy sweet. He's going to just entice the world. And they'll be like, oh, he's just so wonderful. Let me fall down and worship him. Listen to me. The term beast does not refer to his physical appearance, but it speaks of his nature. I'm talking to you today about the nature of the beast. He's a beast within. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. He's a seducer. And the whole world will believe it. That he is the answer to the world's problems. Go to 2 Corinthians. Hold your place again. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at this and don't miss it. In 2 Corinthians 11, look with me at verse 12. Paul writes, by the Holy Ghost. But what I do... 2 Corinthians 11, Bob, and verse number 12. Thank you. Verse 12. But what I do... That I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. They preach, they have pulpits, they use the King James Bible. Oh, they sound so sweet. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Oh, worship me, and I'll give you all of your sinful carnal pleasures. He will. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers... Well. Time out, church. Satan has ministers? Yup. Satan has preachers? Yup. Satan has pastors? Oh, yeah. Many, many more these days. So, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, they're not, whose end shall be according to their works. But I say again, let no man think me a fool. Paul is saying that Satan is a great deceiver and his ministers, including the beast, will be just like him. Deceivers. First of all, the whole world will follow the beast. But second of all, in his seductive appeal, he will be a global charmer. Back to Revelation chapter 13. Look at verse 3 again. Verse 3 says, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. He came back from the dead. Sound familiar? And all the world wondered after the beast. Notice his global charm. It says all the world will wonder after the beast, and that's because his appeal will be global, not local. 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 2. In 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 2, look with me at verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, there's the rapture, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter. False epistles were going around. As from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you. Notice he says, no man. The beast will be a man, a human being, indwelt by Satan. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, talking about the second advent, shall not come except there come a falling away first. We're seeing it today. That man of sin, beast, be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. It doesn't matter if they worship Buddha. It doesn't matter if they worship Allah. It doesn't matter if they worship Muhammad. All that is called God, he will rise above. So that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God. There's got to be a temple built shortly, beloved, in Jerusalem, showing himself that he is God, and they'll believe it. Remember you not that when I was with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth, hindereth, will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked, notice the capital W, that's a title, that's a person. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him, beast, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Yes, the devil can work miracles. We don't seek after signs, wonders, and miracles in this church, because the devil will give them to you if you want them. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why? Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, what cause? They rejected Jesus Christ, love of the truth. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Why? That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. These people chose the beast. They chose sin over Jesus Christ, and now they're going to be damned forever and ever. He will be a global charmer. But thirdly, concerning his seductive appeal, he will have a mortal wound that will be healed. Look back with me in Revelation 13 and verse 3. Yes, indeed, a bullet to the brain. And I saw one of his heads, speaking of his head, as it were wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed. Now, listen carefully, brethren. This will be Satan's counterfeit resurrection, which I believe will actually be a resuscitation. The beast will appear to be dead for 3 days. And he very well may. And he'll be brought back to life, and he will be Satan incarnate. Because when that physical body of the beast gets up from death, Satan will rise him from the dead. You've heard of these zombies down in Haiti? Those zombies are real. The voodoo priests. Oh yeah. They put them to work in the fields to pick their crops. They're walking zombies. They have no brain. They're walking by the power of Satan. I've seen the documentaries. Now listen. Just as Jesus Christ was the God-man, and the beast will be the devil-man, literally indwelt by not a demon. He won't be demon-possessed. He'll be Satan-possessed. All of the power of Satan will be in his body. Now, first, the whole world will follow him. Second, his charm will be global. Third, he'll imitate the resurrection. But fourth, in his seductive appeal, he will appear to be the greatest advocate for peace the world has ever known. And the people will worship him. Look at verse 4. And they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. They worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Notice in verse 4, there's no war going on. World peace. One of the beauty contestants, they always say, what's your biggest, the guy asks, what's your biggest desire? World peace. World peace. They all say, world, well, it's coming. World peace is coming. There will be a total world peace for the first 42 months. Go with me to Daniel chapter 11. I want you, hold your place in Revelation. I want you to see real quickly how this Antichrist deceives the world. It's a must. It's a must see. In Daniel chapter 11, the book of Daniel has more to say about the beast than any other book in the Old Testament. Look at it. In Daniel 11, verse 21. Verse 21, we read, and in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. This world, this man has a world peace plan. And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. He makes a peace treaty. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully. For he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. He shall enter, what's the next word? Peaceably, even upon the fattest places of the province. And he shall do that which his fathers have not done, indicating he'll be at least half Jewish. Keep your eyes on Jared Kushner, very mysterious person. Nor his father's fathers. He shall scatter amongst them the prey and spoil and riches, yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds, even for a time. For a time. Notice the words peace and peaceably. He's coming in. He's a great advocate for peace. The EU leader recently made a statement to the world where he said, and I quote, give us a man who can bring in world peace and we will embrace him, though he be the devil himself. He said that. And guess what, folks? They're going to get the devil himself making world peace. I guarantee it, the Bible says. All right then, we've seen first his sudden appearance. Second, his satanic ancestry. Third, his seductive appeal. But fourthly, observe his sinister ambitions. Back to Revelation chapter 13, verse 4. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Now, indeed, folks, this man of peace is full of sinister, evil ambitions. And he will execute them all during the Great Tribulation, the final 42 months. Listen to me. His evil ambitions are fivefold. First, got to move along. First, his first ambition is to deify Satan himself. Look at verse 4. And they worshipped the dragon, Satan, the beast's father, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast. Notice here that immediately the Bible states that the beast will cause the world to worship his father. What did Jesus Christ do? He caused the world who received him to worship the father. Everything Jesus does, he imitates. Now listen, beloved. Satan has always wanted to be worshipped. What did I just read to you? The Satanic Temple in Ottawa held their first black mass yesterday. Why? To worship Satan! To worship the devil! Folks, if anybody can't get this message, you're blind. Listen to me. He craves worship because he wants to be God. And he will receive worship worldwide during the last half of Daniel's 70th week. Go with me to Isaiah 14. Isaiah has quite a bit to say about the man of sin. And it's not good, any of it. In Isaiah chapter 14. Notice that the beast, as I read, is a man. But this man is indwelt by Satan. In Isaiah chapter 14, look with me closely at verse number 12. Verse number 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For 42 months. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. See, he's no longer in heaven, folks. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Those are angels. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. He's saying, I will receive the worship that God receives. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yes, indeed, that's what he seeks. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Oh, yeah. Now, notice here that Satan desires to be deified. He desires to be God, and he can't. Satan will receive worship through the beast, just as Almighty God receives worship through the Lord Jesus Christ. Go with me to Matthew. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. Matthew 24, let me just give you a hint. It's all about Revelation 13. It's all about the trip. In Matthew 24, and it's written to the Jews, not you. Look with me in Matthew 24 at verse 13. Got to go quick. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Oh, wait a minute, Pastor. I have to hold out faithful to the end to be saved? Nope. That's not what it says. Who is Jesus Christ speaking to in Matthew 24? The Jews. The Jews of our generation. They will have to hold out faithful to be saved if they find themselves in the tribulation period. So will the Gentiles. Okay? It's a combination. I don't have time to get into it. It's a combination of faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ plus some works. Oh yeah. Powerful message right there. And in this, and by the way, folks, you can get my entire series on the tribulation period on the website. Just go to Sermon Series and click on the tribulation period. And this, I've got 64 messages on the book of Revelation. And this gospel of grace. No. And this, where are we? Where are we reading? What is the time context? Tribulation period, that's right. And this gospel of the kingdom, they're not preaching the gospel of grace anymore. That's over and done with at the rapture. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. You find that in Daniel 9:27, Daniel 12:11. Whoso readeth, let him understand. What is the time out? What is the abomination of desolation? Some people don't know. That is when you got it. Yes, and when the beast indwelt by Satan walks into the temple, sits on the mercy seat of God, and says, "I am God. Worship me." That's the abomination of desolation, when the beast enters the Holy of Holies. Then let them, when that happens, watch this. Then let them which be in Judea, that's the surrounding area of Jerusalem, flee into the mountain. Get out of Dodge, quick. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. You ain't got time. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that with child and them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Why? That's because the Israeli airlines, the airports are shut down on the Sabbath. They don't allow anything to go on the Sabbath to this day. You can't get a flight on the Sabbath. Either pray it's not on the Sabbath, you won't get a plane out of Dodge. For then shall be great tribulation. Here comes the 42 months. Such as was not since the beginning of the world to the time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Which elect is that speaking of? The elect nation, that's right. The elect nation Israel. For their sake, the tribulation. Otherwise, listen to me. The beast will seek to exterminate every living Jew. I'm going to get to that in a minute. His first sinister ambition is to deify Satan. But secondly, another sinister ambition, to defy the Savior. Back to Revelation chapter 13, verse 5. Gotta hurry. And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Folks, listen to me. Immediately notice here that as soon as the beast comes to power, he begins his campaign of blasphemy against the Son of God. Why? Listen, it's because he cannot touch God in heaven, nor the saints who've already gone to heaven. So the beast is reduced to name calling. I love it. The Bible, I tell you, you got to read between the lines. Like a little grade school bully, he resorts to slander and character assassination, revealing his own foolishness and wickedness, calling names. Oh, Jesus, you're this and you're that. Oh, blah, blah, blah. What a little punk. Go to Daniel chapter 11 again. In Daniel, as I said, a must companion book to the book of Revelation. They go hand in hand. They're inseparably connected. Daniel chapter 11 again. Verse we didn't read. Look with me in chapter 11 at verse 36. 36. And the king, king of all the world, shall do according to his will. He won't do God's will. And he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire, that's why we believe he's Jewish, nor the desire of women, could be homosexual, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces. Now, notice here that he blasphemes the God of gods in heaven above till the indignation be overpassed. So his purpose in defying the Savior is simple. He will blaspheme the one true and living God and turn people away from belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, the beast will be intelligent, charismatic, and very persuasive, even to the point, I believe, of exercising mind control over the people, causing them to believe his lies. Oh yeah, I believe that this beast, if you encountered him, you wouldn't want to, because he'll put thoughts in your mind that aren't true, and your mind will receive them. That's how much power he has. Now, this is his first sinister ambition is to deify Satan. Second, to defy the Savior. Third, to destroy the saints. Back to Revelation 13 quickly. Look with me at verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war. With who? Saints. Which ones? Tribulation period believers. And to overcome them. You want to hold out on getting saved? You want to hold out on Jesus Christ and find yourself in the tribulation period? Look what it says. He'll overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. He'll be fluent in every language on planet Earth. How many languages do we have on planet Earth? Hundreds! The answer is hundreds. Because within language, you have subdivisions of their languages. Now, look at verse number 7. He's given power to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Here is a frightening verse for our brethren that will be found living in the tribulation period. Now, church, did you hear what verse 7 really said? Listen, there will be great multitudes of souls getting saved in the tribulation period manner and during the great tribulation as well. But sadly, the beast will destroy most of these tribulation saints. Whether Jew or Gentile, the armies of Antichrist will hunt down millions upon millions of tribulation believers and execute them if they receive his mark. His sole purpose will be to destroy all of the people of God. Why? It's because if he can exterminate every single Jew and every single Gentile believer during the tribulation period, then he would succeed in preventing the Son of God from setting up the millennial kingdom. Who is he going to set the kingdom up for if there's no living believers? Remember, the kingdom is for the Jews. Heaven is for us. But if there are no Jews, then there can be no kingdom for the Jews. Matthew 24 again. Matthew 24. Some verses we didn't read. Watch what Messiah says in Matthew 24, verse 24. I'm sorry. Matthew 24, verse 9. Then, let me just tell you, is during the tribulation period. Then shall they, who are the they, think during the tribulation period? Then shall they, some soldiers are coming around looking for people who don't have a mark and who worship Jesus Christ and refuse the beast. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. Man, you can't, in red and white, words in red right there. Jesus Christ cannot lie. They will kill you if you don't worship the beast. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. What's his name? Jesus Christ. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Why? Because there'll be treachery. There'll be traitors who will turn in their own family members to the soldiers of Antichrist. In John 16, quickly, John's Gospel, chapter 16, watch what Jesus Christ says in John 16, verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. There's that word again. Offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. He says there's coming a time when they're going to hunt you down with the hunting rifles that they use to catch deer and bear and stuff like that. But they're going to be hunting human beings. And they're not going to just shoot you. If you live, they're going to chop your head off. Folks, listen to me. This is sinister ambitions of the devil. Sinister ambition number one, deify Satan. Two, defy the Savior. Three, destroy the saints. Four, to dominate society. Revelation chapter 13, verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Notice the all in verse 7. The all in verse 8. The all in many of these verses we're reading. Why? He wants to dominate all of society. And he will. Listen. The beast will have global control over this world. He will terrify some, entice others, but the whole world will be intimidated or bribed or deceived into following the beast. And they will. They will follow. Go to Isaiah chapter 14 again. Isaiah chapter 14, a verse we didn't read, but very, very applicable to what we're reading in Revelation. Isaiah 14, look at verse 16. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the what? man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world a wilderness and destroyed the city thereof, opened not the house of his prisoners? Yeah. After Jesus Christ slays him with the sword of his mouth, his body will not be buried, it says here in chapter 14. It will be left in the street to rot. His soul is immediately cast into the pit for 1,000 years. Now, first, his first sinister ambition, to deify Satan. Second, to defy the Savior. To destroy the saints. To dominate society. But fourthly, fifthly, to delude the sinners. Look at Revelation chapter 13. Again, verse number 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Folks, this is going on during the tribulation period, where Christians and Jews are being hunted down and killed with the sword and taken into captivity for the guillotine. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. You see it? Listen to me. He's deluding sinners into taking his mark. The devil does not want casualties. He wants converts. He wants more and more worship. He will persuade those who are alive during the Great Tribulation into believing his lie. Back to 2 Thessalonians, quickly. 2 Thessalonians, we're almost done. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, of course. Chapter 2, verse number 4. He opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Drop down with me to verse number 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong, what? Delusion, that they should believe a lie. Listen. His purpose, his ambition is to delude the sinners into believing that he is God. Folks, I'm here to tell you today that there is a satanic darkness of delusion settling in upon this world. Have you noticed? I say unto you that we've entered into that time period of falling away that Paul spoke of in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. But one more point I must make. We've seen his sudden appearance. We've seen his satanic ancestry. His seductive appeal. His sinister ambitions. But finally, notice his supporting agent. Back to Revelation 13. He has a supporting agent. Go with me to verse number 11. And I beheld another beast. Uh-oh. Wow, just when we thought it was safe to come out from under the rocks and caves? Nope. Another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Wait a minute. A lamb doesn't have horns. He's pretending to be righteous. You see that? He's pretending to be a harmless lamb, but he's got devil's horns coming out of his forehead. He spake as a dragon, and exerciseth all of the power of the first beast before him. He's satanically empowered, like the first beast. And causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he, the second beast, doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Notice he keeps bringing up the resurrection of the beast. Wow. I see four things in closing concerning this supporting agent. He's called the false prophet. First, this beast, false prophet, the Antichrist will have this agent who will go before him. Look at verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and this is the false prophet. Folks, do you know what an agent is? listen to me. An agent is a representative of a person who is considered to be important. The agent promotes his client. He legally makes deals for him, which will profit him. The agent never promotes himself, but he magnifies his client. This is what the false prophet will do for the beast. And just as the Holy Spirit of God came down at Pentecost and draws men to Jesus Christ, so will the false prophet draw men to Antichrist. As we said earlier, Satan attempts to imitate everything God does. Secondly, not only will he have this supporting agent, the beast, the false prophet, but secondly, this agent will be a sinister minister of propaganda. The purpose of this false prophet is to cause people to worship the beast in order to give honor to the dragon. Look at verse 12. And he exercises all of the power of the first beast before him. Why? And causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Do you know why you love Jesus Christ and you worship him? Because the Holy Spirit in you compels you to do that. This false prophet will compel men to worship the Antichrist. This is his sole purpose in life. Thirdly, Satan has always wanted to be like God. We just read that. Now, God is a triune being. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, right? We know that. He's a Trinity. So, too, Satan will have his unholy Trinity. The anti-God, that's the dragon, Satan. The Antichrist, that's the beast. The anti-spirit, that's the false prophet. This is called the Satanic Trinity. Satanists understand this. That's why they met yesterday, to worship him. Fourthly, finally, look at Revelation chapter 13 again, verse 15. Here we go. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy nor sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here's wisdom. Let him that understandeth count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. If you want to know what that verse means, God showed me. Go to our website, church website, go to sermon series, click on tribulation period, and go to the message. I can't give you the number of message it is, but you'll find it, because when I start preaching on Revelation 13 and verse 18, I preach a whole sermon on what the mark of the beast is. You'll be amazed when you see it, how simple it is. But folks, back to our message in closing. This false prophet will cause people to worship the beast and control the masses of humanity in three primary ways. First, by fire. Look at verse 13. And he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now, listen, he will somehow set the heavens ablaze in some dazzling display. And this will not be the first time he's done that. Remember Job chapter 1, Satan made fire come down from heaven and burnt up Job's cattle and possessions. And then he blamed God for it. Remember that? And Job's wife believed him. God didn't do that. Satan, the Bible says that Satan made fire come down from heaven and burn up Job's stuff. And Job knew that the devil did that. And he blamed the devil. First, he will deceive them by fire. Second, by the image. Verse 14. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now listen carefully. Somehow, somebody asked me a time ago. What do you think the image of the beast actually is, Pastor, in Revelation 13, 14? I said, I think the image of the beast is actually an image of the beast. They said, what? What is an image?
Is
an image, if we had a television in here and we put that television on, and what are we seeing on that television? Somebody, what are they?
Images.
Let me ask you a question. Let's say the President Trump was speaking like he did Thursday night here in Manchester. And President Trump is on that TV. Oh, yeah, go, yeah. Is President Trump here in this living room?
No.
Of course not, church.
It's broadcasted.
It's being broadcast by an image. Listen to me, folks. It's just this easy. What is the image of the beast? It's an image of the beast. John could not understand what a television was in the year what? He wrote it in what? 92 AD? There were no televisions. But God allowed him to see through prophetic vision. And he saw an image of the beast. The beast is a person. We know that. The devil man, right? And the devil man was being broadcast worldwide. His image was. The devil is not omnipresent like God, okay? So the image of the beast is an image of the beast. Now, he deceives them by fire, he deceives them by the image of the beast, and he deceives them by the mark. Verse 16, 17, and 18. We won't take time to read it again. People living during the Great Tribulation must have the mark of the beast in order to buy or to sell and to have food to subsist and live. Listen, if you have not been sealed by the Holy Spirit during the age of grace, you will be branded by the beast during the tribulation period with a mark in your forehead or on your hand. Listen, if you don't, you'll have your head chopped off. You know what they're doing? All these ISIS terrorists and Al-Qaeda and all these evildoers over there in the Middle East chopping people's heads off. They're just fulfilling prophecy. I'll tell you right now. Listen to me carefully, people. The entire world, in closing, will become a vast concentration camp. Listen to what I'm saying here. A vast concentration camp worldwide with all of its inmates numbered. What a thought! Let that statement sink in, brethren. The Bible clearly states in John 10:3 that the Lord Jesus Christ knows all of his followers by name. But the Antichrist will not give his followers a name, but a number. You'll only be a number under his rule and reign. And then you'll get to spend all of eternity with him in the lake of fire. That's right. His reward for all those who follow him and pledge allegiance to the beast will be burning forever and ever. Why? Because it's the nature of the beast. Now here's the good news. The reward that Jesus Christ offers to all those that will choose him and receive his seal, which is the Holy Spirit's indwelling presence, is all of eternity with him in heaven above. Woo! I don't know about you, but I take the ladder. I take the ladder every day of the week, buddy. You couldn't offer me the entire world and everything in it to trade what I've got in Jesus Christ today. I'm saved! I'm not going to tribulation period. I'm not going to worship the beast. I'm not going to get a mark. Because I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit. Now let me say this in closing. If the purpose of the beast is to deify Satan, we need to teach our children in this day and age about the Savior, who is deity, and offer the Lord Jesus massive praise for his redemptive sacrifice on our behalf. He died on the cross to save us from the beast. If the purpose of the beast is to destroy the saints, then we need to teach our children to protect themselves with the knowledge and truth of God's word. Learn not the way of the heathen, but the way of the Lord. And finally, the Bible teaches explicitly that the spirit of Antichrist, listen to me, is already in the world. 1 John 4, verse 3. Listen to me. That means that Antichrist is already here in spirit. So what does that mean for us? It means that you and I better cleave to the Lord Jesus and cleave to this holy book and stay real close to God in these last days, because the nature of the beast is to destroy those who belong to God. Father in heaven above, how we thank you today for the message of warning from Revelation chapter 13. And we know in our hearts, because the Word of God says it, that these events are about to take place on planet Earth. God, it's getting ready time. It's rolling up the sleeve time. It's getting involved in the work of the Lord Jesus time. Because there is no time to waste. Lord, I pray one final thing today. Not only that this church that you've given us here in Manchester, New Hampshire, would grow and flourish, but also, Lord, that we would reach the lost before it's too late. Lord, that we would cry from the rooftops, Jesus saves! The beast destroys. Lord, the contrast is like that between night and day. Oh God, how we thank you for the truth today. And thank you that any human being, under the sound of my voice, can receive Jesus Christ today, at this moment, by inviting Him, Jesus Christ, into their heart and soul, and receiving His blood atonement on the cross for the forgiveness of their sins, and receiving the Holy Spirit within to dwell within you and to lead you and guide you in truth through this life and to keep you from the evil of the devil. We thank you for all these things today. Lord, may souls be saved, may saints be edified, and prepare us for your coming in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Beloved, forgive me for going over today, but it had to come out. Oh, grab your hymnals, those of you who can stay, and we'll finish up. We'll finish up with hymn number 235, which is a favorite of mine. 235, and those who can stand, please join me. And we're going to sing all four. Oh, Fanny Crosby again. Love it. I thank you for your patience today, church. Yeah. Pass me not. He won't. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. My humble cry, while on others I would calling, do not pass me by. Let me at the throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Amen. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my own. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, dear, not pass me by on the third, trusting only in thy merit. Would I seek thy face, heal the wounded, broken spirit, save me by thy grace, oh yeah, and Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry, while on others thou art calling, pass me by. Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me, whom have I honored beside thee, whom in embodied thee. Samuel, hear my humble cry, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. So glad. He'll never pass us by, church. He'll always be there with us, even unto the end. Brother Scott, dismiss us in prayer. Don't forget to share this message with somebody this week.
I dismiss us with the fact that those who hear it are blessed. And those who read and understand the last book of the Bible are blessed. That's a promise. Not subtract anything, or your name will be subtracted from the book of life, and don't add anything, lest the plagues be added amongst you. I say this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.